Census 1234 invites you to Get This with Tony Martin and Rob Sitch.
Good morning, Australia. Welcome aboard. It's me, Tony Martin. Had Cavalli has finished his breakfast.
Almost. Morning, Tony.
He's ready to go and around, if you would, for Rob Sitch.
Thank you. Thank you. You always attract good audience.
We attract a very fine quality of fake audience. Every time I have to introduce you on something, Rob, I always feel the temptation to use a phrase that was used in the old TV Week to describe you, the medico of mirth. You remember when you were the medico? They found out that you were a doctor, and for years you were the medico of mirth.
I was reminded the other day of a story, you know, an after-dinner anecdote, can I put it that way?
Let's have it.
So feel free to change channels right now.
There he comes.
I'll give you the short version. I was actually an intern at a country hospital, and I got a call, and they said it was quite a busy time, and various people had decided to take on, you know, various animals and bulls and fallen off fences and things. And I was really under the weather. And someone said, Rob, someone's ringing from Sydney, and they're very, very urgent. And I might get the soap opera wrong, but it was the casting director of a country practice.
Right.
who said, we would really, really, we're serious about this, we would really like you to play the new doctor.
Is that right?
In a country practice. I think it was the new doctor. And I said, look, I'm kind of busy right now
being an actual doctor.
And the person, I think, fair enough, quite rightly pointed out that I didn't understand the opportunity that was being offered to me.
Wow. Which role was it, do you remember?
I think it was the new doctor in the practice. And literally, it was one of those ones where I said, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to pass it up right now, because I was literally flat out. So she probably thought, to this day, I'm the rudest bloke. I've passed up the golden opportunity.
Yeah. You could have been, because was it Nick Buffalo from the D-Generation?
He was the vet, Tony.
Oh, he was the vet.
Yeah.
But all I remember
you weren't concentrating in the 80s, were you?
I was dazzled by the opening titles where he threw a stick across a lake. Just, for 4 years, he was just piffing a stick.
Nick told me a story once where for people that weren't born then, quite possibly, it was a country practice set in the country. I don't even remember the name of the town.
No.
Of Happy Wandered Valley.
Thank you, Bear.
And Nick was the vet in the early days. He was trying to do the right thing. And they'd sedated a horse. And his line was, don't worry, the grogginess will pass. He'll get up on his feet in no time. Unfortunately, the sedative wore off really, really quickly before they started. They went, action. The horse is running around like a rodeo thing. And he's grabbing onto its tail going, don't worry, the grogginess will wear off.
They often had to do that with Gordon Piper. But now, look, you know, what is it? So are you technically still a doctor?
Well, technically, yes. I don't...
Practice.
I think people do say that with mirth now.
Right.
But I think, you know, you do anything for 8 years, you're in prison for 8 years, you have a certain fondness for the...
Look, I don't know if you want to tell this story on here, and we certainly won't name the hospital that you were working at, but you once told me about a bloke who was like a surgeon at the hospital you were working at who had a museum. You remember this? He had a museum in a cupboard, a secret cupboard at the hospital, of things he'd removed from people's asses. Do you remember telling me this?
That's right.
And after every removal, he'd have to say, do you mind if I hang on to this for the museum? Do you remember that?
I do. There's a sort of a... I think medicos, I don't know which attracts what, but medicos are collectors.
Yeah.
And it's a kind of a bizarre world, you know, sort of... I reckon when medical people watch Hannibal Lecter, they go, what's wrong? What's everyone doing?
What's wrong with Hannibal?
What's wrong with him? It's just a guy that's just gone off the rails a little.
That's right.
Yes, no, there's a fascination with that subject in medicine. And more with the excuses.
Do you remember the story about the hammer?
I remember this. No, I thought you were about the guy that shot himself. And I went in to see him, and he goes, Sitchy, how are you? To which I answered, great, how are you?
Look, the story, I don't know whether you're just reluctant to tell it or you've forgotten it. You told me a bloke had gone into that hospital with a hammer up his ass.
Oh, my gosh.
And the surgeon had, I don't know how that had happened. He fell over in the shower while doing carpentry.
Happens every day.
And that the doctor had taken the hammer out and said, look, do you mind if I have this for the museum?
That's right.
And the bloke said, do you remember what he said?
Something about its value, I think it was.
He went, no, you can't have it. It's part of a set.
That's right.
So there you go.
No, you can't have it as part of a set. That's right. We're not breaking any patient-doctor confidentiality, are we?
He knows who he is.
That could be hundreds of thousands of people in this town.
I don't think there's radio announcer patient confidentiality. Well, we're down in the gutter, and that's where we like to be. Will you stick around for the whole hour, Rob Sitch?
Just to apologise.
That's Billy Idol and his White Wedding here at Get This on Triple M. Rob Sitch is with us. Rob, have you been following the fortunes of Silvio Berlusconi?
Has he left the presidential palace yet?
What is the story yet?
He's conceded the election, but there's a sort of caretaker period. Now, normally the new Prime Minister would usher that in, but the President has asked Berlusconi to stay on to usher in the government he's not part of.
Right. He's not saying much. He's remaining tight-lipped himself. Mr. Berlusconi, renowned for his verbal excesses, domination of the media, colossal wealth, unfeasibly tight face, insanely white teeth, and unconvincing terracotta complexion. If you see that colour orange, I'm now just calling it Berlusconi.
Berlusconi orange. I was amazed someone said today Berlusconi after 5 years was he Prime Minister or President?
He was the Prime Minister.
Okay, 5 years. He's the longest serving Prime Minister in 50 years.
He is.
Yeah. And the
by some distance as well.
And he likes a bit of blue talk as well.
Mm-hmm.
Their Tonight Show hosts last longer than their Prime Ministers, don't they?
They do. And they're not as orange. Look at that wall. We're going to have it completely done in Berlusconi.
It'll be lovely.
It'll be look nice.
He's constantly renovating though, isn't he? Every time I look at him, there's a... I don't know, it's not Botox, is it? Or if it is,
there's a sort of
administered with a sandblaster.
There's something around the back, they just...
It's like chemical straightening for your hair,
that's
for your
face.
I had
a pair of ski boots that had that attachment.
Are you infected, Dr. Sitch, with Logie fever?
I am.
Is it kicked in?
I am. Someone mentioned the other day, when did you first go? And it was like, about 16, 17 years ago. And we were driving up in a taxi... Jane and I, and we thought we were on radio, and literally we just knew there was that red carpet. There's nothing worse than walking up red carpet and just hearing, who are they? Who are they?
Yeah, that's right.
Who's that? And so we said to the taxi driver, look, can you just stop here? And the guy turned around us with a dead face and said, all my life I've been waiting to drive up to red carpet.
Oh,
and we've gone, and you'd think that would have softened us, but it didn't.
No.
And
then,
still go, we'll just get out.
Yes. And then we walked up, and we had the table. We were being nominated for a film clip we did quite a few years back.
Which one?
It was Five in a Row.
Yes.
But we were up against Kylie Minogue and at her peak of her powers. And
Locomotion? Which one were you up against?
I think it was Locomotion, and our clip had a send-up of Locomotion in it. That served us right.
And we were shown to our table. You know in any function there's one table that they add right at the end?
Yeah.
Preceded by the phrase, do you reckon we can squeeze one more in?
And sadly that's usually the one they give to Pete Smith. Right. Pete told me he was in the corridor last year.
And also all night my view was of the swing doors as the chicken snitchels come out.
Yeah. Number 47, your Logie is ready.
And I whispered across, I said to Jane, I've got a suspicion we're not going to win.
Was it Kylie? Did she win?
Yeah, she won. She wasn't there, which would sort of added to the insult.
Someone told me, I haven't confirmed this in the record book, someone told me that single we did, Five in a Row, was the second highest selling Australian single of the year. I'm sure that's wrong, but someone, Michael Gudinski, told me that. Why would he lie?
Was it second highest single, second highest ka-single?
It killed on the ka-single charts. And I'm thinking, second highest, that's pretty impressive. What was number one? And he goes, that'll be Say Goodbye by Indecent Obsession.
I bought that.
You did.
I held the honour of being the last mature male to buy a ka-single.
A ka-single. You used to love the ka-singles.
Yeah. Look, if Nickelback were still putting out ka-singles, I'd be buying them.
But you were the guy who I remember spent years telling me how beta was a superior format.
It was.
You get up on the beta high horse. Technically it was because it went faster.
That's right.
So it was actually, but you were still telling me this when there was just Dirty Dancing and Patrick Swayze's Roadhouse.
How to use your beta.
How to use your beta. They were the last three cassettes in the grotto.
I know we've moved on to DVD now, but if you cast your mind back to video cassettes, beta... Yeah. And it is a little bit of a sore point.
You're still going to defend beta?
We've still got the machine.
Yeah.
And it, but what it does is it loads, it really? Fast forwards really, so you're glazing over now, aren't you?
It fast forwards really quickly.
It jogs and shuttles really quickly.
I tell you where VHS and Beta have it over DVD, and that is being able to fast forward through the copyright warnings. Don't you hate that?
I think everybody that's had a child will know this, is pointing out to a child that it's illegal to show high five on an oil rig. I reckon once.
Oh, look, I have done, if you want to find it in the $1 bin, the Bad Eggs DVD, I insisted till I was blue in the face to Village Roadshow. I said, you've got to make it so you can just go straight through the copyright.
We put our copyright warning at the back. We said, why should it necessarily? Yeah. I mean, I think we pointed it out enough. And it doesn't seem to be working in China.
Really? They love the castle in China, do they?
Well, it's just everyone that goes to a market comes in with you read the movie listings and... Oh my God, see inside, man, and you go to a market and it's...
Yeah, that's right.
It's already used.
It's bloke's got it. In New York, I went to the opening day of Jackie Brown in 1998. Oh, no. I love Jackie Brown. And I come out of the cinema and it was the opening session on the opening day and we come out and there's a bloke with a table of Jackie Brown out the front.
Wow.
And I'm just looking and the logo was kind of wrong. Yes. I think Jackie was spelt wrong. And then we hear sirens approaching. And the guy just lifts up the whole table, just hinges up into his coat. He closes his coat around it and just runs off up the street.
I was in Queensland once and I was about to buy a DVD and it had that mark of quality. The price was in rupiah.
That's always good. Look, we've got so much more to talk about and we're going to do that next on Get This. Triple M. Everything I'm Not, that's those Veronicas here at Get This on Triple M. Rob Sitch is sitting in with us, the Logies. I just got to go back. There's a great thing in the paper. Do you remember when Mickey Rooney came out to the Logies?
Yes.
It was in 1988. It was one of the greatest live moments of television I've ever seen. He's done this moving tribute to Bert Newton. And he said, and I would like to thank my wonderful and very dear, dear friend, Bert Winston.
Oi.
Bert Winston.
He was obviously trying to remember the name of someone who he had been assured was his very good friend.
Did you see when Mel Brooks came out and Eddie McGuire was hosting or had some kind of thing, something to do with it, and Eddie McGuire made a joke and Mel Brooks goes, hey, wow, that's the first decent joke this guy's made all night.
Brooks is doing that. Yeah. You're getting heckled by your own special guest.
Yes.
We need more American guests, don't we? It's a slightly glazed expression when they've gone. You can see the calculation in the head. Was a week on the Barrier Reef worth this?
That's right. But here's a challenge for you. What you should do is, this is what I like to do with friends of mine, is you tape the Logies, you wait 1 year, and then you show someone the special guest from overseas and see if they can recognise who it is.
Wow.
And no one ever gets it.
Who was the guy from Murphy Brown?
There you go. I remember 1 year it was the guy from Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Really? Was it Mr. Cooper?
I probably wasn't.
It's just the guy from... And the girl from ER came out too.
Right.
The girl from ER.
She's great. I love... She's much better than the girl from St. Elsewhere. Who is it this year? Who's the special guest?
Joan Rivers.
Joan Rivers.
Oh,
right. Joan.
Well, she's been heard of.
Well, the other week it was... Wasn't it the girl from CSI? SCV?
Oh, yes, it was.
Sorry. Right. It was... Oh, what was it?
Last year it was her. Last year the blonde lady from CS somewhere or another.
Solving crime.
Yeah,
it's like crime unit. Like Simpson.
It's the solving crime. Yeah. Show. I think we're going to say CSIRO Miami. That'd be a good show. What would it be? Just examining livestock.
And examining mangroves for an hour.
What about Beaconsfield? Do we have any news from Beaconsfield? Please tell us if something terrible's happened and we'll just stop this conversation.
Well, there's a special occasion tonight because Thank God You're Here is the only program not coming live from Beaconsfield.
I'm sure somehow Borney will be standing in front of that mining equipment.
Well, I actually heard that when they do, what is it, 48 hours now? And they're going to get them out and then Gretel Kleen debriefs them. They go, stop me if I...
Last night, did you see the end of Current Affair? Who's hosting Current Affair at the moment?
Tracy Grimshaw.
She's just standing there winding up the show and they've just turned the lights off on her. She's just done it in
complete
darkness. Just a silhouette for the last...
And all you could see was a miner's light.
Yeah.
phonely.
Because, you know, normally when you, if you're a reporter, you've got to adopt the dress of the locale you're in.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just, I'm surprised that no one's gone the miners' light.
Oh, they'll be doing that. They'll all have miners' lights tonight. But do we want to find out what is actually going on?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's cross live now to somebody.
It's now more than a week since Brent Webb and Todd Russell became trapped deep within the Beaconsfield gold mine. Today it became clear their ordeal is far from over.
Yeah, look, getting them to the surface is comparatively easy. Getting them through that wall of reporters, that could take days.
Even if the pair do survive the initial rescue, the path to freedom is blocked by 12 solid metres of print, television and radio media. Hundreds of newsreaders and photographers from all over the mainland, and even if they make it past them all, experts are quick to point out there's still Naomi Robson.
Yeah, if you look at this diagram, Naomi could be waiting here, she could be over here, she could jump out from behind this retaining wall. I mean, it's really too early to say.
The 1 metre by 2 metre steel cage will provide the men with limited protection from Naomi, but even if they make it past her, their nightmare will still be far from over.
Well, can you imagine what these guys are about to be put through? There'll be bloody inspirational montages, slow motion. Can you imagine the music they're going to be subjected to? There'll be a bloody Shannon Knoll song, just you wait.
And even if they survive the inspirational montages and Shannon Knoll song, their horrific ordeal may still be far from over.
Mate, you've got your Mike Munro, you've got your Australian Story, you've got
Ray Martin.
Oh, mate, don't say that. They're still down there.
Surely he'll be doing a special.
Yeah, mate, these guys have got families. Don't go saying that.
And even if the potential 2.5-hour Ray Martin special, whose title rescuers confidently predict will be Shaft of Hope, fails to materialise, the psychological trauma could take years to heal.
Yeah, who knows what these guys are in for? I mean, do you remember what Stuart Dive had to go through?
Mm.
That telly movie where he was played by a bloody Craig McLaughlin?
Yes.
You don't get over something like that in a hurry.
And so, as the suspense continues to grow, rescue teams have accelerated construction of the 2-metre boring machine they hope will be able to push through the impenetrable wall of reporters. In response, Channel 9 have sent over their own 2-metre boring machine, Richard Carlton.
Get this.
We don't expect it to get any better.
For Census 1234 on Triple M.
As long as I have been in radio, mm-hmm. I have been saying that was Bryan Adams with the Summer of 69. Here at Triple M, I'll get this. Where's that dog?
Summer of 69. It was a bit like when George Orwell wrote 1984. Adams wrote that in 1952, didn't he?
Oh, look, it's a fine piece of music, but I mean, we've heard enough about that first real six string. I just think we have. Leave it. Move on, Adams.
Okay. Pretty sweet six string.
What else? We've got a dog here that evacuates itself whenever mm-hmm. that song is played. We must get that dog in here.
Yeah.
During this show. Keith Richards seems to have disappeared from his hospital. By the way, Rob Sitch is kindly joining us for the hour.
I did observe. Who actually climbed the tree to get the coconuts?
Well, this is what you keep hearing on the news.
A 62-year-old grandfather suffered concussion after falling out of a tree and later having a jet ski accident while at a resort in Fiji.
Hang on a second. Falling out of what he's constantly described as a 5-metre tree. And then having a jet ski accident.
Well, he fell onto a jet ski and it took off.
It was a Mica jet ski.
Yeah.
That was transferring him. It's you'd wonder, if you were the mother, you'd wonder if he's ever going to grow up, wouldn't you?
Oh, Keith Richards' mother. What, she must have some explaining to do.
Surely with their wealth they can hire someone to get the coconut neck.
Well, Ronnie Woods was up there.
That's an invention.
Yeah.
Invention. Someone told me.
Inventions. Do you want to talk about that, Rob?
I'd love to.
All right, let's hear the Chalkback Mountain. Let's do inventions because there's this new show coming called Australian Inventor. But what were you going to say?
Oh, when I was in Fiji once, someone pointed out that you've actually got to get the coconuts down because a coconut that, you know, weighs 3 kilos and falls from, you know, 30 feet onto your head kills you.
You're right. Mm,
and
right.
So I think someone said that more people die from coconuts than lightning. I don't know whether that's
right.
That's the Guinness Book of Records. Check that.
So Keith was protecting people's well-being. That's what he was doing.
He was not.
Oh, okay.
No, he's not Ed. He was
as Greg Fleet.
I think the official term is Skylark.
Yeah. Oh, as Greg Fleet said the other day, he was looking for the gear.
You know when you talk about inventions, occasionally something will occur to me and I go, why hasn't someone thought
of
that? But I make the mistake of asking someone in an appropriate shop. Have you ever never heard of. You know, I don't know if you floss your teeth, but what do you do with floss
afterwards?
It's a kind of an annoying.
Yeah,
sticks to your hand.
It's an icky, and I thought, why doesn't someone make a floss cassette where you put the floss back into it and it winds back on? Mm-hmm. You know, a bit like the Beta machine, but it winds back on, back into itself. See, you're giving me the exact expressions the chemist gave me.
No, I like this. The floss cassette.
Then what do we do with it? Oh, then we just chuck the whole cassette out.
I think you've got floss all over the shop.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
Do you want to hear my second one?
Yeah.
These are good.
I do.
See, this is the
problem. Because I'm not sold on the first one, to be honest.
Well, that's why I went into a chemist. I said, has anyone invented a proper floss? Okay, I'll use big words. A floss disposal unit.
Now you're getting somewhere.
Now it's marketing itself. What's your other
FDU
one?
You know, when you get on a plane, you've got a computer. They've all got power outlets now, but your power would go after 2 hours on the way to London and then you'd have a computer. I said, does Apple or anyone come up with a battery pack, like a big battery pack?
Wow,
see, that's the exact tone.
You know, it's a good invention when you hear,
no one's ever. And he didn't seem keen in any way to follow up on it. Do you want an iPod? or do you want to leave the store?
But these are good ideas.
That's a great idea. That the battery pack one, I'm in. That's a great idea.
No. If I think of a really good, a battery disposed. No.
Oh,
I just
wait.
Need big words. Yeah.
I was pushing.
An auxiliary.
I'm in.
Yeah.
An auxiliary battery.
Battery.
You need
pack. It's got to end with pack.
Support marketing. System.
Oh, yeah.
We need some marketing people to come in and give that idea some sizzle. that's a word I hear around here a lot. Mate, your promos need a bit more sizzle. Well, some cut through.
Cut through. There it is.
Inventions. Okay. Look,
I invented a delicious dessert.
What was that?
Ice cream, Neapolitan. No choc chips or anything in it. Three Tim Tams placed strategically, as much of corners as they can be in a round bowl in the microwave. Delicious.
My expression now is the exact expression I gave on the floss disposal unit. You gave me.
Did you notice how
I just want you to know that
it didn't get a.
Look, all I'm saying is try it. Don't knock it till you tried it.
I was pushing one for years in the 80s, and it was tea bags with the sugar already in them. Isn't that a good idea?
Someone came up with tea bags with the milk in them.
No, what happened was I told everyone in comedy this, and everyone in comedy would go, hey, that's it. I would laugh and then go, hang on, that's quite good. Like a one with one sugar, one with one and a half, one with two. And then it showed up. And I'm not suggesting. I mean, they could have come
up.
Yes,
you are.
It showed up on an episode of Colin Carpenter. and you know who came up with it
that's
in the
proper
show?
Home.
Colin Carpenter. And I'm going, gee, that's a good idea you've come up with in Colin Carpenter's, you know, co-op.
So it's picked its water finds its own level, Tony.
And I noticed it didn't have any. But what is this show? It's coming. It's from the makers of American Idol, which, of course, we have Australian Idol. They've had this huge new spin-off called American Inventor. And Channel 9 has apparently paid an enormous amount of money for the rights to do Australian Inventor. Keep in mind, 10 paid about, according to the Melbourne Age, about $15 million for the first American Idol series.
Wow.
$20 million for the second. And is rumoured to have paid close to $25 million for the X Factor. Whoops.
Oh.
But listen to this on the show, which is like topping the ratings in America, American Inventor. Ideas presented so far include gourmet lipstick, a portable gym, an ultra-hygienic toilet lid, and a cri-lingual doll that speaks and cries in multiple languages.
That's great.
The 9 finalists are then given $50,000 to refine their ideas, and viewers vote for the inventor that gets the cash.
Can you read those three inventions again? I'm just going to throw one in at the end.
Gourmet lipstick.
Mm-hmm, keep going.
Portable gym, mm-hmm. ultra-hygienic toilet.
And a floss disposal unit.
Wait, hold the phone.
I like the floss cassette.
Okay, floss cassette.
Yeah, I like cassette as well.
Floss cassette is good.
The singles.
The floss cassette.
Is that topping the ratings in America, is it?
Yes. Let me just see. The two-hour premiere was the number one show of its night.
I read have we got time to... this is one of my after-dinner anecdotes. I read something the other day that American Idol only got on in America. It had been pitched at every network.
Right,
twice. It was rating through the roof in England.
Yes.
And still they wouldn't buy it. And finally Rupert Murdoch's daughter rang up Rupert Murdoch and said, this show's fantastic. You've got to get it on your network.
Right.
And Rupert Murdoch rang up his people and they said, We're still looking into it. And Rupert Murdoch said, don't look into it, buy the thing.
Wow. And someone said he didn't want to do it, and then Rupert Murdoch touched a button on his chest and the bloke started choking.
I'll do it.
Sorry. That's a great invention right there, the Darth Vader chest button.
There you go.
Yes.
How is this for the listeners? We want inventions.
I want to talk. Let's have a chat about what they've invented.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be some big fancy invention. It could just be an idea, a way of walking. Like Ed had a great idea the other day, skipping.
Skipping's a great way to get around, Rob.
It's very manly. And it's very energy conservational.
Yeah, I heard that the kangaroos movement is one of the most economical, and that someone invented shoes on the basis of the kangaroo. Yeah,
I've worn them,
and they're good.
Unreal.
Really?
Yeah, hard to stop.
Oh, okay.
But
so this is what we're looking for:
shoes that are hard to stop.
Any idea? You don't have to have patented it or tried it out. It can just be anything at all—an invention of your own devising. Give us a call here at Talkback Mountain. Rob Sitch is going to be judging. There is no prize.
133353.
Triple M.
And we're back. It's Triple M. That'd be the river live. Wolf. They've reformatted the show again, so we have to get like all our callers just in one song, and it's quite suspenseful. It's quite exciting. But Maddie did bring in the dog. I think we have. Here he goes. A bit of Brian Adams. Let's see if the dog responds. Oh. That's very unpleasant. That's deeply unpleasant.
Thanks, Matty.
I think we are, with the assistance of Dr. Rob Sitch, we are attempting to climb Talkback Mountain. Inventions. Now, a lot of people have been pointing out there is already a show like Australian Inventor. Of course, the New Inventors on the ABC.
Good show.
But it's that thing where you need the name. It's like, remember how Channel 10 paid a fortune for Big Brother, when they seem to have forgotten that only about 2 years earlier they'd done a show called House from Hell. Remember with Andrew Dennis?
Yes.
And it was just Big Brother.
Yes.
But they obviously had to pay all that money just to be able to call it Big Brother.
No sizzle.
No sizzle. House from Hell, no sizzle.
Floss disposal unit.
Floss. No, the floss
cassette.
I love the
floss. What about single? Is that going to get? No.
I'm going to bring the floss cassette out in beta and VHS.
It'll be much faster in beta. We've got some inventors on the line. I'm not quite sure what order we're
in. I think it's Michael first. Okay. Michael, you there? Oh, no, Colin. No, Michael.
Yep.
Michael, how you doing, mate?
Hey, good.
Good. What have you got for us?
It's an iPod bike helmet.
Oh, yeah.
The iPod bike helmet. And what's the purpose of that?
Well, so kids will wear the helmet.
Ah, to make them wear the helmet.
Oh, that's
so
a
they've
good
got an iPod
idea.
In there, and they can just listen to all their music while they're riding around.
Yeah. But that might make them not hear, like, the blaring of a car horn before they get hit, though.
That's probably a good thing.
Two birds with one stone, apparently.
There you go.
In the film The Castle, we made the son an inventor. And we actually invented an invention. It was a bicycle helmet with a built-in brake light.
At the time, I actually thought
that's not a bad invention.
I see it around, Rob. Living in the city, a lot of people riding bikes. At night, I see that.
They have a brake light or a light?
Yeah. I think it might be.
A lot of people are buying the Kerrigans went one level extra.
A lot of people are buying jousting poles as well since that film came out. Okay, that's not a bad
Thanks,
idea.
Michael.
Who have we got next?
Colin, you there, mate?
Yeah, mate.
What do we got?
I invented the automatic toilet seater putter upper.
Wait, have you actually done it?
Yeah.
Oh, well done.
Give him a round. How does it work?
It's pretty much, you know, the pedal style bin. So when you're hammered, you can just stand on the pedal and aim away, and you're all in. It's all done.
You're all in. There you go.
I'm all in.
Well, we've got the phrase for the box.
Yeah.
When you're hammered, aim away, and you're all in.
And we could get the people from the world, the WPT challenge. We could get Mike Sexton from the World Poker Tour to say, "I'm all in." We could have Gary Busey saying, "I'm all in." Just urinating on a poker table. That's got sizzle.
Cut through.
Hey, is it, Colin, when people come to your house and see it, are they, like, amazed?
Well, no, but they've sort of seen it all before. I'm a bit of an old hack at these inventing things.
What else you got?
Is it hydraulic?
Ooh.
No, it's just a like a pedal bin.
Okay,
pretty much.
Pretty simple.
Pinched from a pedal bin, put toilet.
And I love how you've called it the putter upper.
Yeah.
See, it's like the floss cassette. Don't add too much fancy language. Yeah. Just call it the putter upper.
That's
bad. Well, I can't think of any other way to putter it.
To putter it up. Correct. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Colin.
Who have we got next?
Brad, are you there?
How are you guys?
Hey, man. How you doing?
Good. Oh, look, I was just thinking of the cruel irony. Had Channel 9 invented that show about the inventions, then they would have saved themselves millions.
Ah, that's true.
I'm working on this. I haven't got it quite right, but you were talking about kids before. Rob, the one bane of our existence is the lost remote control.
Yes.
Oh, so I would have to have a button on the telly that you push, and your remote control beeps wherever it is.
I mean, is there not something kind of like that, or have I seen that on The Simpsons or something?
No, I'm hoping you've only seen it on The Simpsons.
I don't know that it exists.
Oh,
it does. What do you? Our producer Nikki is gesturing. What do you say, Nikki?
There's something like that to find your keys.
Oh, to find your keys, and obviously the phone as well. I always use that one.
The phone. Well, it's always works the same principle as the phone. When you've got the handset in the lounge room, and you push the button and it beeps, so you know where it is.
I think that's a great.
Do it for the remote.
That's an excellent idea.
Yeah. And the other one would be the thing that searches out the Turkish delight in a box of assorted chocolates. I hate the Turkish delight, and could there be one in a box of 400, and I'll get it.
You just need like a Geiger counter.
Yep.
A Rosewater counter.
Very nice.
Doctors used to put them through MRI machines just to find them.
Is that before or after they pulled a hammer out of a bloke's ass? Sorry, that's going to be baffling if you've just tuned in.
No.
I read the other day somebody was using these high-tech imaging systems to, you know, how there's often competitions where there's letters underneath the
screen. Yes.
So like, use the high-tech systems to win a fridge or something.
To rig the Willy Wonka golden ticket competition.
Do you remember when they I think one of the fast food chains was doing Scrabble?
Yes.
And there was a big trade in buying like the letters that you needed to win the trip and stuff.
Wow.
The X's. Trades in the X's and Q's.
I don't know if anything on this segment is legal, but we're going to forge on. Who else have we got?
That's
it with the inventors?
Yeah, I want to say thanks to Brad, who was last. That was awesome.
Yeah, no, all good stuff.
And the putter-uppera.
That was a gold one. And the floss cassette, the tea bag with the sugar already in it. I'm going to be pushing that
one. What about the dessert?
One.
Delicious dessert.
No, Ed.
Yeah.
That's just what happened to the people when they pitched Viennetta. This is the same kind of treatment they got. And look what a winner that was.
Okay, I think that was Talkback Mountain.
Get this.
Experts say working in pairs has a lot to do with their survival.
For Census 1234 on Triple M.
That'd be your Violent Femmes.
Mm.
Like a bit of that.
That's catchy.
Blister in the Sun, which I think is catchy, which Tim Minchin, pardon me, Tom Minchin I was going to call. I went to New Zealand just for a moment. Tom Minchin. he told us that's still the number one request if you're in a cover band.
Yep.
Blister in the Sun never goes off. Thank you very much, Rob Sitch, for sticking around for the entire hour. Thank God you're here. That'd be on tonight, wouldn't it?
On tonight.
Doing quite well.
It's Channel 10 don't know what to do with themselves at the moment. They don't know how to. I don't think they've won the ratings in a decade.
Yeah, that's right. They've actually won the ratings.
Since the Commonwealth Games, the last time they won the ratings.
And it's not a show where they've had to take the word American off and staple the word Australian over the front. it actually seems to be an original idea.
It's a slightly uncomfortable position that we're in. No, good group tonight too. Sean McAuliffe.
Yes.
Akmal Sally. Julia Zemiro.
Right.
And a boy you know, Alan Bro.
Alan Bro. He'll be good for that. Look, I've enjoyed everyone you've had on, but the real discovery for me has been Angus Sampson.
Yes, he's...
How funny is that guy?
He's almost like he's done a martial arts degree in something. He's like very composed, and then it all comes out of this quite composed, thoughtful person.
Yeah.
No, he's a real... He's a star.
He's a name dropper, though. Wonderful. He's coming in telling us stories about Lou Ferrigno. Lou Ferrigno, the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
And he has a tiny wife called Lady Ferrigno.
Lou Ferrigno.
Do we get to all the big stories? I think we did. Was there any more? Have you got anything on everything. Your little tiny piece of paper there?
No, I did. I think I had one more.
Berlusconi joke?
No. I've forgotten the name of the town where the mine is.
Beaconsfield. Beaconsfield. You know, I keep seeing, the newsreader standing in front of the structure. Obviously, they've got one on each corner. They've got Seven's corner, Nine's corner. Yeah. And you just go, I just so wish the front line was still on.
I always remember, whenever these things happen, I always remember that scene where they're deciding, the reporter is deciding whether he should be kneeling or standing up with his with his jacket over his shoulder.
When they get out, a siren's going to go off, but of course no one's going to hear it down in Tasmania.
There you go.
Take that with you.
Frontline series 2 and 3 are out on DVD and just looking better than ever. You've got to rent them or buy them, whatever you do these days, kids. Also, Thank God You're Here is on tonight on Channel 10. That's correct. And hello to the bloke, the double amputee, who's climbing Mount Everest. Have you heard about him?
Wow.
He snapped off one of his artificial legs and he's forging on. Doesn't that make those normal mountain climbers look pretty damn lazy? Edmund Hillary, just not trying. So good luck to that bloke. Have we got had any updates on the cardboard mask bandit in Adelaide?
No, not today, mate. Adelaide, you know, let us know, mate.
All right, we need to know. Go to the website, give us an email. Thank you once again for coming in, Rob.
That's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And I think the key phrase today was floss ka-single. And we will be back tomorrow with Andrea Powell. Come on. And it's all thanks to Census 1234. That's a good invention. Do it.